I would invite you to turn to 1 John. As you turn there, those of you who were here last Lord's Day, remember that in Lee's message, a wonderful part of it was where he was speaking about the Father's heart toward us. I'm paraphrasing here. And I had felt like I should preach what I'm going to preach this morning before last Sunday morning. But as he began to unfold that toward the end of his message, it just sealed the deal. It cemented in my heart that I knew this message this morning is from the Lord for you individually. We just sang a number of hymns about the love of God. As we sing those, do you really believe for yourself what you just sang? I'm going to speak this morning from 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John 4, two verses. 1 John 1, verse 3, and particularly one phrase within this verse. 1 John 1, 3, John says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." But the text in that verse is the phrase, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father." Now, 1 John 4, verse 16, is a commentary, in a way, on verse 3 of chapter 1. 1 John 4, 16, John says, and by the way, remember this is experiential language. It's not just intellectual knowledge. It's not just mental assent to the fact. This is experientially real within our hearts. John says in verse 16, "And we have known and we believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who dwells in love," meaning dwells in the love of God, "dwells in God, and God in him." Let's pray again together. Father, what a privilege it is to turn again now to the Bible, to hear the Bible taught, to seeing truth that comes out of your word, and to hear now a message from your heart to our hearts. We acknowledge again today we are insufficient to speak utterly, truly inadequate. And Lord, we are all insufficient to truly hear without your aid. So Holy Spirit, own this time. This is the word that you have inspired holy men of old to write. You've preserved it down through the centuries, and we hold the very words of God in our hands. Perhaps some looking at it on the phone, but this is your word. So we rejoice today as one who finds precious gold and gems. Speak to us, Father, about our fellowship with you. For Christ's sake, amen. The message could be titled one of two ways. Take your pick. Our fellowship is with the Father, or knowing the love God has for you. Because both of the texts we read, 1 John 1, 1 John 4, speak to that very issue. I want to speak on fellowship or communion with God our Father. Now, you know, the Old Testament says Noah walked with God. He walked with God. So there was communion and fellowship in reality, though in part, not fully like the New Covenant believers have. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. How long? 300 years, I think it was, right? That's a long walk with God. Fellowship with God. Abraham, 2 Chronicles 20 says, is called the friend of God. Now, redeemed believers have always had communion, loving communication. I'm not talking about verbal communication, but communion is communicating of love. Believers have always had communion with God. David did clearly, didn't he? And while the Old Testament saints experienced that in a measure, now, in our full redemption because of the gospel, it brings believers now into a relationship and a realm that Old Testament saints never fully experienced. Because they were still under a covenant, remember, that was inadequate and temporal. And it's passed away. John Owen about that said this, quote, "This communion and fellowship with God is not mentioned in express terms in the Old Testament, but the reality was there. But the clear light of it, this communion, and the boldness of faith about it is discovered in the gospel by the Spirit's ministry." Did you get that? The fullness of communion with God, the Father, is fully revealed and expressed and experienced in the clear light of the gospel and by the Spirit's ministry to us. Because we have been reconciled to the Father, have we not, in our Lord Jesus Christ. And our adoption as sons and daughters in love. Because of that, we're no longer aliens and strangers. We're no longer in the realm that we don't know God. We're no longer in the realm of darkness and alienation and under wrath and judgment. No, but now, as saints and members of the family of God, as true sons, we're no longer enemies of God, but now we're children of God. You once were an enemy, but now you are a daughter of God. You once were an enemy of God, but now you are a son of God. Children of God as true sons. So this salvation thus brings us into what? Relational communion and fellowship with the Father. The text says first, our fellowship is with the Father. Now if I live and I'm speaking another Lord's Day, I'll speak on the next phrase. Our fellowship is with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, relational communion with God, the Father, that's what John declares here. Our fellowship is with the Father. Now, the word fellowship here is the same word as meaning communion. And we're having communion today, but I'm not talking about communion at the Lord's table. I'm talking about living relational communion and fellowship that we have with the Father. John, our text says that. Specifically, that we have this with the Father. And Jesus mentioned this in John 14 when He said, "If a man loves Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him." The Father Himself, through Christ, loves us. At times, you know, only the Father is mentioned about this communion. Not only mentioned, but specifically mentioned. Our fellowship with the Father. At other times, Christ is specifically mentioned. As Paul said to the Corinthians, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And remember the famous verse, we all know it, Revelation 3:20. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the church. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and what? Sup, commune with him or her. That's Christ communing with us. And you know, even at times the Holy Spirit is specifically mentioned about our communion with him. 2 Corinthians 13. Paul says, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So today, this truth, our fellowship is with the Father. What an amazing reality. But I want you to notice as we begin, John doesn't say we need to have fellowship. He doesn't say, you know, you need to get this fellowship. You need to gain it somehow. No, you need to try to have fellowship. He says our fellowship is with the Father. Every believer has this. Realize that this morning. This fellowship of communion and relationship, every believer is in that with their Father in heaven. You may feel like it's flawed. You don't feel the intimacy of it at times, but it never changes. Our fellowship as a Christian is with the Father. We are to live in that communion with the Father as it is revealed in the New Testament, especially through John's writings, the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, even the revelation of St. John, this idea of this relationship with our Father. I have three general points this morning. They're easy. Number one, what is our communion with the Father? Number two, His communion and fellowship with us. And number three, our communion and fellowship back in return with Him. First, what is this fellowship with the Father mentioned here? It is this. When you read the statements about the love of God, the Father, in the New Testament, John is clearly talking about this relational communion of sharing mutual love with our Father, because He now is our Father. He has shed His love toward us. He loves us unchangeably. We are in a status and a standing of always being loved by the Father, and His love is toward us. That's the Father's communion toward us in love, and our mutual return of that love back to Him. This is our fellowship with the Father. It's the mutual sharing of love between He and us. And again, to quote John Owen on this, communion with God is a joint participation of love the saints enjoy. Now, if you're a believer this morning, think about this question. Do you enjoy the love of your Father? Or is that strange language to you? Enjoying this mutual love that is between us. It is His love for us, and it is our love back toward Him in return, which we'll look at in point number two. The dominant emphasis in the Bible about God's love is speaking about the love of the Father. Yes, the New Testament writer speaks about the love of Christ and the love of the Spirit, but numerous times, and by the way, in the New Testament, when the name God, for God so loved, when God is used, just that title, that name, it generally always, with rare exception, is referring to God the Father. So this dominant theme in the Bible about God's love, I want you to hear these references, and these are about the Father's love. You know them. I have loved you with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, my Father will love him. Paul, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Jude, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, I want you to read 1 John 4 with me. I want you looking at it because John goes on about this. Every reference here is referring to the Father. 1 John 4, 7 through 11. We'll read it all. I want you to notice it all and see that it is talking about the Father's communing love toward us. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He who does not love knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His own only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Every reference, that's the love of the Father about us. Love is of God. God is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, etc. And in the verse I quoted earlier, Paul mentioned it in that simple doxology at the end of 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. And remember what Titus said? I love Titus 3. He said, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior. Now in the context of that, it's talking about the Father, the love of God our Savior. After the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, according to His mercy, He saved us. And one of the greatest texts in the New Testament, 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? Sons of God. Herein is love. Beloved ones, your Father has loved you from all eternity past. In love He predestined you. By love He redeemed you. In love He adopted you as His child. Having loved you, He will love you to the end. Everything about the Father's heart and dealings with us is fully in love. Linda took a trip to Austin the last couple of days and went to see our son David for his birthday and took two grandsons, Cole is about 12, almost 12, and Weston is 6. So Weston, they're out at a park, and Weston has a pretty good scrape. Really, really pretty good one. And so, later she gets some alcohol. And she's pouring it on there. And he starts crying out, I don't like you! That wasn't to be mean, was it? It was out of a grandmother's love. The next day she said, Weston, do you like me? Yes, Grandmama, I like you. Everything from our Father, the scrapes He has to deal with, His discipline is love, His correction is love, His sanctifying work is love, all His leadership of us into the valleys, going through the shadow of death, is love, His pruning us, His shaping us, His stripping us, His feelings and thoughts toward about us is all pure love. Do you see His love for you that way? Our Father communes with us by communicating His love to us by His Spirit in His delight of us. Do you really believe today your Father delights in you if you're a Christian? Does that give your heart pause? Or can you with assurance say, yes, my Father does delight in me with love? That's the Father's communion toward us. It's It's His having love toward us all the time. Secondly, our communion in return toward the Father. Communion means there's a mutual exchange. There's a sharing. We love, it's not that we loved Him, but He loved us first. Because He loved us first, we are to love in return. And that's communion with God. To gladly, joyfully, freely, because of Christ, receive the Father's love and give it back to Him with joy, our communion toward the Father. It's love in return. You see, what He wants from us is just our heart. He doesn't want performance love. He didn't want self-improvement love. He doesn't want even perfect love. He wants you because of how He loves you in communicating with you His love. He wants your love in return. He just wants the love of our hearts, simply and purely and genuinely. He communicates Himself to us in love and desires ours in return. It is an interchange. It is an intercourse of divine love between our Father and us as His child. As someone said, God loves us that He may be beloved to us. This regular communion begins in His love for us and is experienced by us in our returning love back to Him. Remember John 21? How bad Peter had blown it. Shame, grief, embarrassment. His first encounter with the Savior after the resurrection. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Is that not an interchange of love? The loving Savior restoring him, bringing him back into relationship, pouring His love out on Peter. And in return, Christ is just wanting Peter to love Him and affirm His love for him. No matter what's happened, a woman comes to a meal, washes His feet with her tears, and she never says a word. And she's washing Him with love. Thomas, after the resurrection, he finally sees the prints of the nail. And he says, my Lord and my God. And he worships Him. Thomas loves Him in return with his love. We love Him also by our obedience to Him. If you love me, Jesus said what? Keep my commandments. Obedience is living out our love in return. We love Him because He first loved us. So our fellowship of love is reciprocal between the Father and us. He delights in loving you as your Father. And you need to have joy in loving Him in return. So this communion you have with the Father, tell Him. It's a relationship of love. How often do you tell Him? Just tell Him, like Peter. How often do you pray it to Him? How often do you pour your heart's love upon Him in prayer and in acts of worship? Our mutual fellowship of love is only experienced fully and only really known when we love Him in return with a free heart because we've first been loved. What is this communion with the Father? Mutual love experienced. He for us, us toward Him. You and your Father loving one another with mutual joy. So for this fellowship with the Father to be real and experienced, we ourselves must apply this to our hearts. As a believer, in your struggles, at your level of where you are, as a believer, how can you apply this? and really know it. Let me give you some suggestions. Number one, for our fellowship with the Father to be real and experienced, we must, number one, believe and receive His love for us. This is probably the single most important thing a believer needs for assurance and for joy in the relationship. You must, I must believe and receive the love He has for us. It must be known and experienced. And John said in 1 John 4, we have known and do believe the love that God has for us. ESV says we've come to know and we've come to believe this love. So this morning, examine your heart and answer this question. Do you personally truly know and believe the love the Father has for you? Now, you may know it intellectually, doctrinally, theologically, but in your heart, in your soul, with your affections, with your mind, do you know, are you convinced and persuaded of the Father's love toward you unconditionally? Do you really believe that? Some of you deep within, you don't experience this mutual loving fellowship. You believe He loves you less than He loves others. You don't believe you're as lovable. None of us are lovable. His loving you is not dependent on our being lovable. Divine love isn't dependent on the object, but on His love. You may believe that His love for you is less because you've been a mess. You may believe in your heart He's regularly disappointed in you. His love is frustrated by your inconsistency. His love is kind of cooled off toward you. And it's kind of a long distance love now. And you don't believe the Father's love for you. Yeah, He loves me because He's God and He has to, but He doesn't like me. I don't think He likes me. John Owen again, quote, Christians often lived with very troubled hearts concerning the thoughts of the Father toward them. But few, Owen says, carry their hearts and minds in faith to rest their souls in the love of their Father. They live below it in the troublesome region of fear, spiritual storms, and clouds. Can you this morning say to the Lord in raw faith, because He said it, can you say to Him, Father, in my weakness and in my true need, I believe this morning Your word that You love me clearly and perfectly, just as I am now in Christ. I accept and I believe, Father, Your love for me. I need nothing more now than to enjoy and rejoice in, Father, Your communing love for me. We do not enjoy the communion of His love toward us until our hearts in faith receive that love from Him and tell Him we believe it. But when we do, there's nothing more acceptable to Him. There's nothing more pleasing to Him. There's nothing that delights Him more or glorifies God more in us than our rejoicing in His love for us. John Calvin was right. To believers, a persuasion of God's fatherly love is more delightful than all earthly pleasures. A persuasion, Calvin says. Are you persuaded this morning? Really persuaded? Children, do you believe that God loves you? Has He awakened in you a realization of the love of God in Jesus Christ, and putting away the excuses Alan talked about, will you realize the living God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has loved me. I believe that He loves me, and I will come to this loving Savior, and I will entrust my heart to Him. I will believe in Jesus Christ. This is being persuaded. Says Spurgeon, nothing binds me to my Lord like a strong belief in His changeless love. And brethren, that's the root of assurance and of all joy and of steadfastness and stability. Believing and knowing the love God has for us. Application number two. Not only do we have to believe and receive His love for us. Number two, rest satisfied in His love for you. Rest in it. Stop any striving. Just rest in it. Rest your soul in the Father's love for you, because He rests in His love toward you. The Father is perfectly at rest about you in love. There's not a shadow in His mind that's negative toward you in Christ. Rest in your Father's love because He rests in His love for you. His love for you is like a vast, perfectly still, calm ocean. No waves going in and out. No changes, no disturbance in the water. No ripples in it. No storms on the sea of His love. It's like a perfect, calm, satisfied, unchanging love. And He rests in that toward you. Now you, if you struggle with the love of God, now you are to do the same. Rest in that love. Nail it down. Have done with the struggle about, does He love me? This is your fellowship with the Father. Put away. Repent of all wrong, low, dishonoring views of Him. Stop thinking His love is like yours. View Him as the lover of your soul. As a tender, kind Father whose love is communing with you and toward you all the time. Because the Father's love is the only rest for our hearts and our minds. All earthly love is fickle and imperfect. Husbands don't love their wives perfectly as Christ loved the church. Mothers don't even love their children perfectly as the Father loves us. The love of the Father is perfect and unchanging, and it is the only rest for our souls that there is. I thought this week of Luke 15, the prodigal son. You know, that parable, the love of the Father is what that parable is about with the son. It's not about the son. It's the father who, when the son got sick of home and bailed, the father loved him in it. And when the son got homesick and headed home, the father loved him from afar and met him. The father's love saw him afar and met him right where he was. No scolding, no rebukes, no probation, no cold shoulder, no mention of the past, only love in the moment. And the Father gives to you and pours out to us and sheds abroad and feels toward us divine love always, that is never affected by our sins, failures, mistakes, regrets, guilt, shame, and inconsistencies. He is communicating that love as steady and perfectly to us because He is perfect. Brethren, if we view Him any other way, it will breed unbelief and we draw back. But as we look upon Him only as being our loving Father, we will then experience sweet communion. Final thought. thought of application, and I borrowed this one directly from John Owen. Owen says this, "Resolve today that you will commune with Him in His love only and be no more troubled about it." That was Owen's word. Be no more troubled about it. Today you cannot be troubled anymore if you will believe this and resolve today that you will commune with your Father in love and only in love. Trouble not your Father by doubting His love anymore. His love's not like ours. It's not like human love dependent on the object. And we can resolve today, if this is your battle, where your assurance comes and goes, waxes and wanes, and you doubt the love of God, resolve today, forever, as one Puritan said it, and I paraphrase, to lay aside and lay down your reasonings and your human arguments and the lies that rob you, and take up the love of your Father that will open your soul to rejoicing in the love of God. Because, brethren, our fellowship is with the love of the Father. In a moment, we're going to sing it. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast, beyond all measure. You, if you're His child today, no matter what your condition, you are His treasure, and He delights in you. Our fellowship with Him is receiving and believing His love for us, and with joy, loving Him in return. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Let's pray. Father, the reality of this, would you seal it in the heart of every believer here today? And would you speak, Lord, the reality of the love of God in Christ to everyone who is yet holding back from coming to the Savior? Pour your love out upon us, Father. Shed your love abroad afresh in our hearts, and cause us to be taught by your Spirit that this is our fellowship, Father, with you, to receive and to believe and rejoice in your love for us, and to love you in return from our hearts and our souls freely. Thank you, blessed Lord. In Christ's name, amen.